The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
It was pretty obvious that the Horns were excited to be there and they were rolling.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're back to being Texas. I think that'll happen when you make the playoffs, but that's the next best thing, to go in and win a game like that and,
so that's the
and
first
look impressive doing it.
The first time they've won 10 games since I left.
Wow.
The last time they won at least 10 games was 2009. They played the national championship game that year and lost, but they haven't won 10 games since.
University of Houston made Dana Holgorsen official. I think that's a coup for UH. I think it's a great hire. The kind of talent he'll be able to get there is going to match up really well in that conference. For me, it erases the stain of the whole Briles thing. I can actually start going to games.
You're back.
I'm back.
Where West Virginia ranks as far as likelihood of making the playoff, I mean, they might be borderline top five in the Big 12. Maybe it's a step back in prestige, but I think he's looking at his long-term chances to win, and he's looking at his quality of life, and it's better here.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN, your number 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at my name Jong, and at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. Lots of football talk today. A little gambling talk. Haven't really talked about any of the lines yet. We have a line for the championship game. We've got the wild card games. Want to zip through those real quick?
We can. I'm not confident yet, though. I'm behind on my handicapping thanks to the damn holidays.
Texans -1.5 against the Colts. That's down from -3. I'm kind of intrigued.
I never saw a three. I looked for a three, and I actually set, like, my book never gave a three. I set up alerts for,
yeah,
and it never came, but I played them at 2.5, the Colts at 2.5. I think the Colts win the game, so, I mean, I've been wrong before, but.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a field goal game, and, you know, just like the first two were, but I expect the Texans to play better than they did the last time they played the Colts. And I think them running Watson as much as they did last week, I think you're going to see more of that. And I think they win a squeaker, but neither result's going to surprise me.
I think a lot of points will get scored.
Well, and that's where I'm looking at the over 48.5 right now. That I will play. I'm not going to play the side here because I don't, you know, like I said, I think it's going to come down to the wire just like the last two have. And somebody's going to miss a field goal or make a field goal. But by the time they do that, I think they're over 48.5.
I think so, too.
Cowboy -1 at home against Seahawk.
I like Seahawk. They just seem – that was, if I'm not mistaken, that was Seattle's first win of the season was Dallas. Like, Seattle started off really horrible.
Yeah.
And kind of picked it up and, like, starting with that game. And Russell Wilson wasn't – he wasn't out of this world in that game, but he was good enough. Threw a couple touchdown passes, 190-something yards. Good enough, and Dallas didn't really do much against them. They moved the ball on the ground a little bit, and granted, this is a different Dallas team than they were.
Different Seahawks team, too.
Yeah, I just think Seattle's playing really good football right now, and it's kind of gone under the radar. They've won 6 of their last 7 games going into the playoffs. They're on a pretty good little run here.
I think the Cowboys might be better at everything but the two most important things, head coach and quarterback. And
I know the Colts are better, or not the Colts, the Seahawks are better at those two things. Yeah, I know they are.
And when it comes to the playoffs, that's what I'm always going to fall back on. So I'm going to lean Seahawk here.
Where's that lead you on the Colts-Texans game?
I still don't. I mean, I think it's close enough where it doesn't make a big difference. The difference between Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott
is pretty great.
Is significant. The difference between Pete Carroll and Jason Garrett is significant. I think the Cowboys are good enough everywhere else.
Yeah.
And, you know, but like I said, I think the Luck Watson thing, do I like Luck a little better? Yes. But is Watson capable of playing at that level? Absolutely. And
Reich O'Brien, who you like?
It's Reich's still a first year coach who would have home field if he'd just taken the tie.
Yeah.
So, I guess, well, yeah, they would have had home field if they'd just taken the tie. Chargers at the Ravens. Ravens minus 3. I kind of like, if this number gets to 3.5, I'm going to take the Chargers.
Yeah. I don't know. I outside of 3, it's probably not a play for me. But I like the Ravens when that game early on was what? It opened at 2 or 1.5?
1.
Yeah, I like the Ravens a lot then. I'm liking them less. The Chargers are such a complete team. And I think they're going to come in with a better game plan to stop Lamar Jackson this time.
Yep.
I think you'll have a fully healthy Melvin Gordon.
I think that makes a difference.
I do, too. I that's a game that I'd play the number. I honestly think if I were to go under 3, I'd like the Ravens. But if it's a 3, I think you might be right. It could be a play number for the Chargers.
I'm going to look real hard at the over 41.5 here. I could easily see this game going over because as much as the Ravens run the football, they're also explosive running the football.
Yeah.
And there are big plays to be had there. And I know that the Chargers can do that. So I'm liking over 41.5.
I will say this, though. I mean, that Ravens defense, that's legit.
Yeah.
And
those
guys are – there's been a lot of teams who thought they were going to go in and score a bunch of points against that team, and they didn't allow it. Their first game, 32 points total.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact they played the Chiefs, they lost that game, but that was a 51-point total, and that's the Chiefs. They shut it down, man. They held the Falcons to 16. They've held some good offenses. When they played the Saints earlier this year, another loss, 24-23. That defense is legit. It's a matter of what they can do on offense is going to decide what happens.
And I think they're going to score, but I can easily see this being 24-21 type of game. I think you're going to see a little more scoring than you did last time on both sides. And that's why that 3.5 really interests me if it gets to that. And then Bears minus 6 against the Eagles. That's up from 4 is what it opened at. Boy, I'm going to keep an eye on this, too. If it gets, I don't think we're going to get to 7 on it. But
I don't think so either. But I like the Bears. I know there's a lot of Eagles love. I just think the Bears in Chicago are too good. I like Trubisky to have a good day. You know, I just think that Eagles secondary is still not healthy. They're still banged up on the O-line. I can't put any faith in that team. I feel like they're kind of the frauds of the playoffs.
You know, kind of say that, but every time Nick Foles goes out there, they win games. And last week, that game was over when he got hurt, but he appears to be 100%, so we'll see. I don't really have an opinion on that one, but I'm going to keep an eye on that number. And then
what's the total there?
41. Which seems right to me.
Yeah.
I also need to check the weather, I guess, before that game. And then Alabama is only 5.5 over Clemson.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Alabama for me. That number is going the way I want it to. I was worried it was going to get outside of 7, and outside of 7, I probably wouldn't like it. But I just think Alabama's the best team. I've thought that all year. You know, they handled them last year. I mean, handled them in that playoff game last year, and that was before Tua. So I just think they're the better team. I think Clemson's really, really good. But if I had to bet on it, which I don't know if I even will, but Bama would be the play.
Yeah, that's where I'd be leaning right now. I just think Clemson's one of the few teams that their defensive line can match up with Alabama's offensive line, even without Lawrence. I think when it comes down to it, I trust Tua to make plays. And you're still talking about a freshman quarterback for Clemson, as good as he is. Yeah. And I think Alabama's going to win. And it's kind of been what we've been saying all year. All right. Those are some of your lines. Foster wants to know, what are the odds Mike Tomlin makes it through next season?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I'll say this. The Steelers are sometimes loyal to a fault. And they ride those coaches until they're ready to go, usually. So I don't know. I don't know that I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be very good next year, but I don't know that going 8-8 is going to get Mike Tomlin fired. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it would look like a panic move. I mean, you missed the playoffs this year, but the team was solid. Let's say they go even 7-9 next year. Are you firing a coach after going 7-9 with all the accomplishments that he's had? I can't picture that.
No. What are the odds? Bears versus Ravens is the lowest rated Super Bowl. I don't know. Bears are a national brand and the third largest media market. Ravens aren't really sexy, but I think any game involving the Texans and, well, almost anybody on the other side. I actually, you know what the worst one might be?
Colts, Bears?
Rams, Chargers.
Could be, too.
Because yeah. As excited as the NFL would be to have two California teams, are people going to care outside of California?
I don't know.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Danny says, Seahawks don't play the same on the road. Plus, they don't have Earl Thomas, who killed the Cowboys during their first meeting. Cowboys will win, and narrative will be Seattle was supposed to lose because rebuilding year. No.
I mean, Seattle, they're not supposed to be here either.
No. I'm not sure Dallas is. Although, by the way, I think I picked them to win the division in our little preseason thing.
You did,
thing.
Too.
And I think I had the Eagles as a wild card. Pretty sure.
You want to get to the final?
Yeah, let's see. I think I did all right with this. I missed the Vikings, I'm pretty sure, and I missed the Jaguars. I know that.
I think I missed those too. My Super Bowl pick's still alive. My other on the NFC is dead.
Your Super Bowl pick is not still alive.
No. To get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the winner is dead.
Yeah, you're the one. You are the only one who doesn't have a Super Bowl winner that's still alive. I definitely look the most foolish with my MVP pick, Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Jong went with Deshaun Watson.
Not bad.
Not a horrible.
He's not going to win.
Fred, probably the closest, although I don't think he'll win either, with Drew Brees.
Well done.
So I had Jong and I both had Chargers winning the West. Fred had Chiefs. Fred wins. We all had Pittsburgh winning the North. All fail.
Yeah.
All had New England winning the East. All correct. You guys both had Houston winning the South. I had Jacksonville. Wild cards, I had Indy and Baltimore. Got them both in. Fred had Jacksonville and Tennessee.
And as you recall, I flipped Tennessee from Indy at the last minute.
And
so I would have gotten one regardless.
Jong had Jacksonville and KC. And then in the NFC, Fred and I both pick Rams. Jong picked Seattle. Half credit because they still made the playoffs. None of us got the NFC North right. Minnesota, Green Bay. Philadelphia, Dallas, Philadelphia for the East. Fred with Dallas. Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina. We all had different ones for the... Fred, you dominated this game. And then the... I had New Orleans and San Francisco as wild cards. Fred had Philly and Chicago as wild cards. And Jong had Minnesota and New Orleans as wild cards. So Fred got 5 out of the 6 NFC teams right. The only one that you didn't have was Seattle.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's actually damn good. And then you got 3 of the 6 in the AFC right. So 8 out of 12 ain't bad. That's way better than Jong and I did. Jong had freaking Green Bay making the playoffs.
I thought I had 4 of 6.
Had San Francisco in the playoffs.
Well, they would have had. That would have been good if they wouldn't have gotten their guy hurt.
Casey, Garoppolo Houston, hurt. Tennessee, New England. I had 4 teams right in the AFC.
Tennessee didn't make the playoffs, Fred.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Duh. Came down to the end.
I hate to break it to you.
Never mind.
Still a good... You still won, okay?
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to run up the score.
Yeah, I've got Rams over Patriots in the Super Bowl. Fred has Patriots over Saints. Jong has Vikings over Chargers. This one may be difficult, but it's... Keep hope alive.
So I would need the Chargers to make the Super Bowl, and you guys would need your teams to get eliminated.
It's possible.
Good luck.
Yeah.
713-780. ESPN's the number. 713-780-3776. Yeah, that last minute flip from Indy to Tennessee kept me from going 4-6.
Yeah.
Because I'd had it picked, and then I changed it right at the end. By the way, I'm pretty sure I won the host portion of the pick'ems on ESPN 97.
There you go. Yeah, I stopped doing that after I missed a week.
Yeah, I missed 2 weeks.
Well, you would have been a threat because I had 17,700 points and you had 14,900 missing two. So you would have been right there with me.
I stopped playing after I missed one. It was stupid.
Charlie Palillo second with 17,000. So I beat him by 700 points. And let's see who else was on here. Who else actually stuck with this the whole season. Joe Blank, 14-3. Barry, 15-1. Almost everybody else just kind of quit. Lance Zierlein, 3,300. Patrick Creighton, 800.
Oh, not good.
See, I didn't want to miss a week because my name's on it and all these other people were there. And Palillo was ahead of me, and I finally caught him. So I won one. I get nothing for it, as usual. I always win the stuff. I can't get anything. 713-780-ESPN. Mayo asked, what are the odds the Colts upset the Texans? It's not going to be that big of an upset.
No.
It's a 1.5-point game. And
it might be a pick 'em by the time it goes
off. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a coin flip. I think it's 50-50. So, but I'm excited to watch all these games.
Yeah.
So, I guess the one that I'm least interested in, I don't know. I mean, maybe Seahawks Cowboys, but I'm kind of interested in that game too.
I think for me it's Bears Eagles.
See, I think that game could wind up being close.
I mean, I do too, but compared to the other ones, that one's the least interesting to me.
Well, I guess you have to be interested in Texans Colts.
Yeah,
and I'm very interested in Ravens Chargers.
I think that might be my favorite game of the week.
Because I guess I feel like any one of these teams could go in and upset Kansas City or New England.
Yeah.
In the right circumstances. Is that Daryl? Let's try Daryl.
Hello, Daryl. Sports.
Hey, guys. So I'm in a handicapping contest. I've been doing it for a few years. This year I finished in 12th. I had 172 wins. I was just wondering what I would, like somebody professional like y'all or RJ or something, kind of number would y'all have on a pick'em contest all year long?
Well, it depends on what the rules are. How many games did you pick every game all year?
Every game all year, every game every week.
Yeah, I don't know how well I would do with that. And I feel like you'd struggle even more because you're more.
I'm not a volume player.
Yeah, you're a tighter guy than I am when it comes to that. I probably bet 6 NFL games a week on average. probably two or three of those are totals. So I would probably struggle to pick every single game.
Yeah, against the spread, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
If we're just doing the pick'em thing, I just told you exactly what I did for the season.
Yeah.
Because we had to pick every games for that. But yeah, assuming against the spread, I just think that's you almost have to get lucky a couple weeks because there's so many coin flip games that have to go your way. But no, I don't know.
I actually have my exact record for just straight up pick'ems as well, because I did in one of my fantasy leagues you do that.
Yeah.
And I actually was, because there's money attached to that, so I of course did it every week. I finished with a 163-91-2. So 64%. The winner had 65%.
Ah.
Don't. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm wondering, I guess you got 100 points for every win, hence the 17,000.
Probably so.
Yeah, so that's probably what I did.
Well, you would have beat me.
Well, let's see how I did in the actual group thing with all the listeners. This thing's not very intuitive, I have to say. I'm trying to figure out who goes where.
Oh, wow.
And, okay, so somebody called XTC Dragonfire had the best record, 18,600 points. He got 171 correct. So I got 164 correct.
Okay. So I would have beat you if I played.
Yeah, if you hadn't choked.
But I'm lazy.
But that I would have been good for 15th overall.
That's pretty good.
In the list.
How many people played? In the hundreds?
Well, there's a next 50, 100. Wow, it's still going.
Okay, so lots.
Quite a few signed up.
100. Yes. Yeah, I'm still going here.
But then how many 200? People actually played the whole season?
Well, I'm sure people did what you did, just quit.
Yeah. Once you miss one, you give up.
Because you're quitters. You guys are quitters.
Well, and sure. I think some people might have played like just one week. So if they win that week, they'll get a prize.
Okay.
Well, I'm at 350 and still going. So, well, it takes commitment to get in there for a whole season.
I guess so, yeah.
You know, but 400. I don't know how many people, but it's over 450.
I only played all week or all season for the prize that I didn't win.
Well, so I'll take that, though. 15th out of however many. And you know, I was trailing Charlie Polillo. I had to rally.
You made to make a comeback
to get him. He had me down like 400 or 500 points at one point. So, all right, we're gonna take a quick break. A lot more to get to. I'm really disappointed we didn't get that guest today. Now that'd have been fun. All right, don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Warehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. So, I have some bad news for fans of Game of Thrones.
Uh-oh. Don't tell me this.
I don't know if you knew this, but you're a big fan of Daenerys.
Dragon Lady, right?
Yeah, although apparently there's quite the debate going on.
Okay.
That she shouldn't be the mother of dragons. But the mother of wyverns. This is okay.
Some nerd try to say these aren't dragons because they have feet or something like that?
Yeah.
Like,
honestly, I've been involved in some nerdy stuff in my life. I make no bones about it. But this is ridiculous. Apparently, a dragon has 4 legs and 2 wings. Wyverns have 2 legs and wings. Hence, Danny's dragon is not a dragon at all.
Gygax.
It's awful, right?
God, I hate people.
Then, of course, this has caused a real debate, AJ. There are people who argue that wyverns are a subset of dragons, thus making them dragons. The definition of wyvern is a dragon with four legs only, wings, and a barbed tail.
That seems like the best.
And yeah, this is turned into a nerd war. Mm. Somebody said wyverns are still dragons. Okay. And oh my gosh, people are taking this seriously. And of course, you know who weighed in on this?
The big fat rider guy?
Yeah.
What did he say?
By the way, how is he still alive?
I don't know. It ain't gonna last.
He basically apparently, well, no, this is someone's reading his thing saying that he references dangerous creatures such as wyverns, and it's mentioned early in the book. Isn't this clear evidence dragons and wyverns are different in this way? No, you dorks. Oh, I don't care what you call them. Okay. Because Daenerys is the mother of dragons. Hey, we're officially into, now they're 2019. We know they're coming.
Oh yeah. Winter. Game
of
Thrones.
I watched some of the old ones.
I guess winter's here.
Yeah. Winter's here for another couple days and then it'll be.
No, I mean on the show.
Oh yeah. Well, I watched some of the old episodes. They were running some reruns of series 1, series 2 or season 2. Some of them were kind of bad. I guess at the time, you know, you get a couple of really good episodes, you forget that there were some really lousy ones in there that just did nothing.
Yeah.
And as I recall, I liked season 4 the least of all of them. And I wound up not watching that one. But there were some great moments. I went back and watched the Mountain and the Viper again. That was one of my favorites. But that whole episode sucked up until the fight.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there going, what the hell? This is like Walking Dead, walking around stuff.
Man, and how different that show would be if the Viper had just killed him.
Oh, it'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. Right, but he monologued. You can't do that.
You can't. Not in the middle of a fight.
No. No.
Hey, Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback gave some of their awards out, their NFL awards 2018.
Okay.
You want to you want to see how your vote would have gone up against theirs?
Sure.
Who would be your choice for executive of the year?
Oh boy. Got to be New Orleans.
Jeff Ireland was 7th place in the voting.
Really?
Chris Ballard in Indianapolis.
That would have been my second choice.
11 of 12 first place votes. So
yeah, they rebuilt that offensive line in 1 year.
Yeah.
And took care of Andrew Luck and did pretty well on defense.
Here's a tough one.
Okay.
Offensive rookie of the year. Because for the first half of the season, it seemed like a lock.
Yeah, it was Saquon Barkley. I kind of like, you know what? I'm going to take Baker Mayfield.
9 first place votes, 61 points. Saquon Barkley, 52 points, 4 first place votes. So those were 1-2. Philip Lindsay, Lamar Jackson, and Quentin Nelson round out your top 5.
Yeah, Philip Lindsay would have been a good choice, too.
He would have been. Assistant coach of the year. It's a boring category, but
Vic Fangio with that Bears defense.
He was 3rd.
Okay.
Don Martindale, the Ravens defensive coordinator, got the most votes. 6 first place votes, 50 points. Freddie Kitchens, the offensive coordinator in Cleveland, got 44 points. Hmm. Let's see. Special teams player of the year. That's lame.
Cares, yeah.
Michael Dixon, the punter from Seattle, 10 first place votes. Justin Tucker, the biggest Pro Bowl snub of all, 2nd place with 40 points. Kymie Fairbairn received votes. 3 points.
That makes sense. I mean, he had a really good year.
Coach of the year. This is close between 3 guys.
I tell you who I might vote for, considering all the injuries they dealt with, is Doug Peterson.
Did not receive votes.
He probably should have.
Number 1, Andy Reid, 5 first place votes, 45 points. Number 2, Matt Nagy, actually a tie for 2. Matt Nagy with 42 would. Points and 3 first place votes.
I'd have probably put him first.
Frank Reich, 42 points, 1 first place vote. A guy that I think I might have voted for was Pete Carroll, 29 points, 2 first place votes. Talking about a guy who did a lot with not much. Anthony Lynn received 1 first place vote.
Yeah, he probably deserved it.
John Harbaugh, 6th. Bill O'Brien, 7th. One first place vote. And then Mike Vrabel from Tennessee somehow got votes.
Because everybody thinks he's a great coach.
I don't get it.
You know what, though? One of the things you mentioned there, when you go through the top three names on that list, and then you throw Peterson in there, that's mm-hmm. all. It doesn't make you just want to go hire an Andy Reid assistant.
Yeah. They're all the same guys.
Yeah, and they've all done very well.
Comeback player of the year. This one was kind of a slam dunk.
It's got to be Andrew Luck. And
yeah, I bet 12 first-place votes of the 13.
Yeah, I bet Watt would get a vote, and Deshaun Watson might even get a vote.
Watt and Watson were 2 and 3, although neither got a first-place vote. Neither did Adrian Peterson, who was 4th.
That'd have been a good one, too.
Jalen Smith got a first-place vote. He finished 5th. Beckham, Chris Carson, Andre Howell got a vote, and Allen Robinson got a vote. Defensive rookie of the year.
Ooh. I'm blanking on his name, the linebacker for the Colts.
Oh, Darius Leonard,
yeah.
3rd place, okay. 2 first place votes. Leighton Vander Esch, 2nd.
He deserves some votes, too.
And then Derwin James, 1, the safety for the Chargers. 8 first-place votes, 57 points overall. Offensive player of the year, non-quarterback.
I would make a case for the guy over on Kirby, DeAndre Hopkins.
3rd place, 2 first-place votes. Ezekiel Elliott, 1.
Okay, I wouldn't argue with that too much.
I would have gone with Todd Gurley, although he kind of finished with a whimper. He finished 2nd, 3 points behind Zeke, but he only got 3 first-place votes. Christian McCaffrey, 4. Saquon Barkley, 5. And then Zach Ertz and Michael Thomas. Tyreek Hill got some votes, and Julio Jones got a vote.
By the way, no drops this season for DeAndre Hopkins.
That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Defensive player of the year.
Well,
slam dunk, isn't it?
It's got to be Donald, right?
It's Aaron Donald. 12 of the 13 first-place votes. 1 first-place vote went to the second-place guy, Khalil Mack. Bobby Wagner, 3rd. J.J. Watt, 4th. Surprisingly, getting no votes was Jadeveon Clowney. I thought he would have maybe gotten some love, but not to be. And finally, Fred, MVP.
I'm sure they all took Mahomes, but I'd like to see Breeze actually win it.
Mahomes won 126 points, 9 first place votes. Drew Breeze, 2, 118 points, 4 first place votes. So pretty close. Andrew Luck, 3rd. Philip Rivers, 4th. Aaron Donald, 5th. How about Russ Wilson, 6th. Deshaun Watson, 7.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Khalil Mack, 8. Tom Brady, 9. Zeke Elliott, 10. Todd Gurley, 11. DeAndre Hopkins, 12. Christian McCaffrey, Bobby Wagner tied for 13, and Baker Mayfield received 2 votes. So that's their take on it.
Interesting.
Some of those are easy ones, but I think there's some that it's like, oh, that's it. Like Coach of the Year, I feel like you can make an argument for a handful of guys.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Andy Reid makes the most sense, but, man, Nagy wouldn't have been a bad choice. Yeah. You know? And up until about halfway through the year, Sean McVay was probably leading the thing.
Yeah.
So...
And I don't know if he didn't even get a vote, which is, I mean, that's pretty wild. I guess maybe because last year, nobody expected them to be that great. And then this year, I mean, everyone thought they were going to be world beaters.
Bill O'Brien got votes and he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, he got a vote, right?
Yeah.
Wonder who did that.
John McClain.
No, I don't think he.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea. No. All right. I got to tell you about Carbach, Fred. It's the holidays. Well, I guess the holidays are past, but your kids are still out of school, which makes you need to drink beer. And Carbach, that's the beer you want to drink. And you want to go out to the brewery. How about tomorrow, every Thursday, they've got a running club going on out there, a fun running club followed by great craft beer. You break a sweat with the Carbach Running Club, and you earn free beer. Hard to beat that. If you like biking better, the first Monday of every month. Join the Carbach Brews Cruise, followed by a Carbach Happy Hour out at the brewery. And when you're out at that brewery, you got to stop by that restaurant. If you haven't made it out to the restaurant, I don't know what to tell you. You're a dumb. It's a brewery and dining experience unlike anywhere else. They've got a fantastic menu that all pairs really well with their beer. I love the poutine. I love the Korean fried chicken, the crab cakes, the Hatch chili mac and cheese. And that's just the starters. Their fish and chips are awesome. Great steak or tuna tacos. They're open daily 11 to 9 for lunch and dinner, and they're serving brunch Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 2. Stop in and check out the food. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, and Twitter. Do it all three. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today, or tell your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Check out sportsmap.com. That's all you
need
to do.
Get on the map!
Big night in the World Junior Hockey.
Stop it.
Already a huge upset. Sweden out, the number one seed.
I knew they didn't have
it. They were beaten by Switzerland. Canada is leading Finland right now, and the U.S. plays the Czechs tonight. If they win that, they get Russia in the next round, presumably. But upsets can happen. I'll be watching
TV. Dirty Russians.
Yeah, they'll probably find some way to, you know, hack the scoreboard. And so I thought we outscored them. Nope, you didn't. All right, guys, let's wrap up the show the way we do every Wednesday with famous deaths. And we start with 1994, Cesar Romero.
That's the dog training guy, right?
No, he was in Batman. He was the...
Oh, yeah, that's the old
Joker. The old Joker, yeah. Okay. Pretty good at that.
Who's the dog training guy?
I don't know.
You got me. Okay. Anyway, dead at 86. Pretty good run.
I know.
1953, Hank Williams. Dead at the age of 29.
Damn.
He had a cold, cold heart.
29 is all he made it to?
Nope. That's it. Fail. 2018, Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yeah.
What happened today? Dead at 76. 2017, Milt Schmidt. NHL player, died at 98. That's a long run.
Yeah.
1988, Pete Maravich. Dead of heart failure at the age of 40.
He's a good one.
Yeah, and I remember for the longest time, like reading the story about how he told everybody how great he felt, and then he left and died.
That's crazy.
That's why I never tell people I feel great.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you want to do. 1970, Sonny Liston, dead at the age of 38. 1933, Calvin Coolidge, the 30th president, dead at 60.
Where'd you rank him?
I think he's like 34, somewhere.
Okay.
In there. 2007, Momo something that I'm not going to say, Ando.
Momofuku.
No.
Momofuku.
No. Stop. Stop.
Fuquo?
There's no reason to do this.
Well, he's the one that has the ramen cup, the cup noodles.
Yeah, and you just put that in there because you wanted me to say that.
No.
He died at 96.
Those are like the most famous, like the one that's in New York City. I don't know if it's still there, but the giant cup ramen.
All right. I'm going to call him Momo. 1967, Jack Ruby. The assassin who killed Lee Harvey Oswald died of pulmonary embolism at 55. If you ever really want to watch like back-to-back conspiracy movies, watch JFK and then watch Ruby.
Yeah,
it takes like 8 hours of your day, but it's worth it. 1992, Ling Ling, the first panda China gave the U.S., died at 23. I don't know if that's a good run for a panda.
That's the first one they gave us?
Yeah.
I feel like we should have just gone and taken one before then.
Yeah, I know. But
20 is the average age.
Okay, so this one had a good run then. 2015, Stuart Scott, dead of cancer at 49.
RIP, Stu.
2006, Saddam Hussein. Hanged in Baghdad at 69. Did you ever see that video?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody watched it.
I loved it.
1972, Roberto Clemente, dead in a plane crash at 38. Also not a good run. 1965, T.S. Eliot, dead in London at the age of 76. And in 1939, Amelia Earhart, declared dead at 41.
Show me a body, Fred.
After disappearing. I think she's still flying, AJ.
I think so, too. She hasn't run out of fuel.
Somewhere out there, Amelia Earhart is still going. I think she ran you know, basically got into a parallel universe. And she's going to show up in like 20 years and she won't have aged a bit.
Yeah. She's in the quantum realm.
I think there's a
Could
show
be
about
in the
that.
Quantum realm, yeah.
She's the original Wasp.
Ah, I see. All right, we have some porn stars.
Yes.
Three of them. 2003, Holly Landers died from?
Alcohol poisoning.
You know what? I'm going to give you points for that. She was killed by a drunk driver.
Okay.
So not poisoned, but yeah. 2001, Terry Diver.
Alcohol poisoning.
Prescription drug overdose.
Close enough.
1985, Bodil Jensen.
Alcohol poisoning.
Cirrhosis of the liver due to alcoholism.
There we go.
So 2.5 out of 3. Not bad. All right. This really did feel like a Monday show.
It did. But that's good, right?
Yeah, because tomorrow we'll only have 2 more shows this week. So
I'm okay with that. We'll have Brett Powers on.
Yeah. I just need to get back into a regular routine. All these holidays have messed me up.
Yeah, we're done.
Caesar Milan is the dog whisperer.
So he's dead too?
No.
No, I think he's still alive.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, well then I'm totally confused. All right, well.
By the way, I got a shutout in hockey yesterday. Don't be jealous.
I got one like Monday, and I'm still only beating one of the worst teams in the league 5-4 after losing 7-2 in the short week last week. So all that work I did to get back to competitive failed miserably.
Wasted.
Yeah.
I'm losing 7-2.
Oh, wow.
But I'm playing against a guy who doesn't set his lineup, so I should win. I should win out.
I'm winning 5-4. Same thing. I should be okay. I just need my players to actually do something. And I have 2 starting goalies tonight, so we'll see how that goes. All right. That's going to wrap it up.
Happy New Year, Blitzers.
Indeed.
You too, Fred.
And to all you guys, we're going to make 2019 our best year yet. Great job, Jong Lee. Great job, AJ Hoffman. It's okay today. Till tomorrow, stay sports, you bitches.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.